Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today is a live prophecy reality edition. So come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net. The studio cam is on, and we are present. Well, what is going on in the world? A whole lot. The world has changed enormously ever since the criminal acts of Donald Trump, Herr Fauci, Bill Gates, and all of their cohorts in this satanic plot to reduce the population of the world and gain total control over the entire world. Bring about the 2030 agenda in the image of the beast, the United Nations, and basically rob us of all our rights and subjugate us to darkness, I guess, to oblivion. And they seem to be getting their way. Everybody's getting jabbed. Some people are even saying that the jab is the mark. I can't say that people who have the... I don't know. But you hear all kinds of things. I tell you, I would be afraid to get the jab after everything that I've read and vetted and after all the research. Still waiting for human trials to get done, and then I really don't need it because I'm old and I'm probably going to die sometime, you know, in the near future anyway, the near future being, you know, 20 or 30 years, because the funny thing happens when people get my age and older, they start dying. Yeah. So I think it has a lot to do with, you know, how much discipline they had in taking care of their health these days, and or there are a lot of factors that can lead to you know, when your demise is going to come. But here's a fact that we all know, is that God knows the day of the demise of our mortal flesh, and it's already written. It's we who do not know, because I have no idea, to tell you the truth. But I can read the signs of the times, and I can definitely read them because I've read a lot of history and a lot of stuff that's going on now, despite the computers and the internet and all of the technology we have. A lot of things are very similar to what preceded all-out persecution in past centuries, especially during the reign, the 1260-year reign of the Antichrist in Western Europe. So I see a lot of the same signs going on here today. And the hatred of true Christianity is just simmering below the surface of the majority out there in the land of the free and the home of the brave, so-called. Although I don't really believe it's that anymore. Or maybe if they're already brave and free left, maybe most of them are here in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave, but now it's not the land of the free. It's the land of the cowering cowards, because they're all afraid because they've been told to be afraid. So they're all cowering in fear, afraid, so afraid that they willingly do and act according to what they're told to believe. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we read about it in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, toward the end of the chapter there. We have this in chapter 13 of the Revelation. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast. Well, the image of the beast is powered. It has life. And it is working. Okay? If it was not working, we would not see this lockstep action over the whole world. You know what I'm talking about? They called it lockstep, and they call it lockstep. And when you see evil, when you see tyranny, the loss of your liberties and delusions, happening in lockstep and being spread over the population of the entire Earth in lockstep, then we know that the image of the beast is active and alive, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So that's what we're moving toward the time when those who do not worship the image of the beast will be killed. And how will they be killed? Well, the next chapter talks about those that were beheaded for resisting the mark of the beast. So that's what's in the future for us. They have the image of the UN. We call it the image of the beast because it is an image of the Roman Empire, of what the Roman Empire once was, ruling over the whole world. That's what the image is. And this image is that device, that construct would be a better word for it. The image of the beast is the construct through which the Antichrist and his shadow government rule the world. Now, I watched a very interesting presentation over the last several days because it turned out it was 5 hours long. And this Butch Paw sent me this in his regular email blast. And this guy was a winner on something called the X Factor, which I've never seen. My daughter tells me that it's some kind of talent show thing. But anyway, I've never seen the guy before. He's kind of, I think he's an Australian, from what I gather from listening to him and indications in his presentation. But it was 5 hours long. And he presents this thing. Most people drop off after a few minutes, 20 minutes. No one would endure watching this video for 5 hours. But I'd say it was worth it. And if you'd like a copy of this, let me know after the broadcast or email me at First Amendment Radio or contact me on my website. And I'll make sure that I point you to a copy of it. As definitely very interesting. But it's all these things I've known for a long time. But he made it so much clearer because he was initiated into Freemasonry, which is, and you know, he explained something to me and to the listeners that Freemasonry is a cover for the Satanic Church, the Church of Lucifer. And as we know, that Freemasonry is run really behind the scenes at the top levels by the Jesuits for the Antichrist himself. Because the Antichrist, and he really gets to that. He finally gets to it, in the end of the fourth hour where he identifies the Antichrist Church as part of it. And he starts to expose it, but he doesn't quite put it all together. But he puts together enough, and he exposes a lot more of what is in plain sight, but which you really don't pay attention to. Most of the time, you don't even notice these things, and all these people that are part of this satanic worshiping church that has for its cover Freemasonry worldwide, basically. So if you think of the Church of Satan or where they worship Lucifer, that's it. A lot of you already know this, and I already knew that too. But seeing it so much more clearly, and this guy had an encounter. He had a near-death experience, and I believe his testimony. I mean, anyone who could sit there for 5 hours without a break and outline this whole thing. And, there's something real going on there. And it goes to show you that, you can't judge a book by its cover, and you can't judge people by what they look like or what they've been through. because God is, you know, is gathering people from all nations, creeds, colors, and localities on the whole earth. It, all different kinds of people are, you know, invited into God's kingdom. I was thinking about, I was listening to a Tom Fress before this and thinking about, you know what? God came to me. I didn't go to him. And really, that's the testimony of true Bible believing or Reformed theology, is we don't initiate our own salvation, but God initiates it. We might say yes, but he initiates that yes, because God came to me. I didn't go to him. If it was up to me to look for him and to seek him out, it wouldn't be sitting here today. No, he called on me. He sought me out. He invited me in, and he gave me the will. He formed me for the day that he would call me so that I would say yes. And boy, if I had known what I was saying yes to then, I probably would have never said yes. See, because that's who I really was. That's who we really are without him. If he doesn't prepare us to say yes when he calls, then we're never going to get it. He is the author and the finisher of our salvation. He calls us. He chooses us. We have nothing to do with it. All we can do is give God all the glory. Because I wonder sometimes, why me? You know, but then again, I could just as well say, why not me? You know, as well as I could say, why not somebody else? But I don't know who he will call in the future and who he will never call. Although I've learned some people that, you know, he exposed in the past in his word that he was never going to call. But he exposed them because that's his place to know that and to expose what he wants to expose. But there are lessons to be learned throughout his whole word. And, you know, if God has called you, because a lot of people wonder, and I get this a lot from a number of my listeners, that they have doubts because they're looking at their past. But that's where Satan wants you to look at your past. Jesus wants you to look at your future and now, you know, because now we repent. Now we allow the Holy Spirit to work repentance in us. Now we have a hunger and a thirst for his word. And when we fail, then we pray for more of a hunger and a thirst. We pray for a better assurance of our salvation. And we get that in time. Yeah. I mean, because I, looking back over the last 45 years, I can say God worked. But I'll tell you what, maybe looking back 5 years, I couldn't say that he worked. But I was more delusional about my salvation than I am now. And perhaps I needed to be more delusional then, because I was not maturing very quickly, you know. And I sometimes, you know, I question why, you know, where were the people where was the church? Where were the elders that would disciple me, that would pull me aside and say, here's a young man who needs to be discipled. I'm going to spend that time. But where were they? You know, why did I have to stumble for so long and make so many mistakes in my life? And I can question all these things, but then I can stand here today and go, well, it got me here. You know, and God, for his purpose and by his wisdom, allowed what he allowed. And that's what it took to get me where I am today. Yeah, so if you can look back and you can see that God has been working in your life, and he's been, you know, you wander a little, but you always come back to the narrow way that leads to life, then you can be assured of your salvation, as long as you stay on that narrow way that leads to life, because it's the broad way that leads to destruction. And that's the way, you know, going back to our topic about the mark of the beast and what's coming in 2030, because that's what we're on. This is the march to the mark of the beast, or the march to the 2030 agenda, because that's what, you know, the image of the beast and the beast and the Antichrist, the false prophet, that's, and his shadow government, that's what they're all working toward. And I mean, we've seen things in the last year that would seem unbelievable 2 years ago. You know, yeah, you'd start to wonder, well, I read this in the book, I read this in the Revelation, the prophecy of what's going to happen. And, you know, it seems like it's almost impossible, but then the almost impossible starts happening. And you're going, okay, well, now we need to be ready. We need to get ready for the persecution that's coming. Because that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay? That as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. How many is that? As many as would not worship. So I'm not going to worship the image of the beast. I'm not going to get the mark. I'm not going to comply willingly with any of the edicts of the beast that go against the truth. And they are spreading lies in order to get people to do things that they would not ordinarily do. And many people are walking into it unknowingly. Most people, they're already worshiping Satan. They're already worshiping the beast, its image, or the things that this life has to offer. They already have their idols in front of them that they're worshiping. They're already walking in the ways of the world. So they just kind of roll right into, you know, what's coming and accept it without question. And then they look at us, the few, you know, because they are the many. That's why they need the highway to hell. You know, they don't have a narrow way to hell. You'll notice there's no narrow way to hell. It's a highway, because that's where most people are at. They are on that highway to hell. And we just want to make sure we're not on that highway to hell. We're on the narrow way that leads to life. Now, we may get, you know, depending on our maturity and how long we've been working with Christ, walking with Christ and allowing His Holy Spirit to work repentance in us, and how much we've allowed the washing of the water of the Word to cleanse our souls, our hearts, and our minds so that we could walk with Christ and do the works that please Him. Those works, when we look back and we see the work of the Holy Spirit, what Christ has done in our life, that He is authoring our faith, and that He will finish it. We have assurance because we see what He's done, and we are not going to depart from the way. That's all. Just make up your mind not to depart from the way. And if you do depart and you're called back, you know, and you reach for the Father's hand and He stands you back up on your feet and sets you on the path, the narrow path that leads to life, then you plead. You plead for His mercy. You plead for Him to, you know, give you a hunger and a thirst for His word and for His righteousness. See, because I now hunger and I have a thirst for the day, that glorious day when Christ will return, and He will. Of this, I know it as well as I know that the sun is going to rise tomorrow. I know that the promises of God are true, and that that day will come when I am resurrected, whether from the dead or whether I'm still alive and changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, it matters not to me. I know on that day that when I see Him, I will be like Him, and I will never sin again. I will never struggle with sin again. Why? See, this is how you know that you are His follower, because you hunger and thirst for that day. You desire to never even be tempted to sin again. Because it's not something, you may not have the capability. That's why you need faith now while you're in your mortal flesh, because we haven't obtained it yet. But we can see that God is working for us, and He's working patiently and calmly and taking His time with us, each one individually as he will for his own purpose to work in us that which he wants to work on in us for. Because sometimes I wonder what purpose, you know, if I'm going to be resurrected and I'm going to be changed and I'm going to be perfected and I'm going to be like Christ and know as he knows and never desire to sin again and never sin again, not even to be capable of it, because that's my desire now. And that's what that is, the desire that all of the true followers of Christ have. They have that desire. They recognize that they are incapable now of achieving that before their mortality ends, but they desire it and they are being perfected in it and looking forward to the day when all the promises of God will come to fruition. Okay. Well, welcome to the chat room, everyone there. We got a few people in there. I'm on DLive and Trovo. I decided that until I get Odyssey up, I'm going to try Trovo. Seems to be working. It says I'm live over there and I have one viewer on Trovo. So that's good. And let's see. Got a couple viewers on DLive, but most people are still listening on YouTube, which, you know, you notice I can say everything I need to say without saying for certain keywords. You notice that? Yeah, because they have their algorithms at YouTube. And, that's still, you know, I'll use their platform, to preach the gospel and to reach as many people, as I can. You know, as long as I can, but because eventually I know that they're going to kick me off. So that no man might buy or sell. So it's going to be problematic. You know, you might want to buy some beans and rice and stock up on certain items, but eventually, see, once it starts in 2030 or even before that, but once it starts, because they've run it really bad and they're going to get it. Because basically, they rule the world. And we'll talk more about what we can expect, especially from 2030 on, when we get back from these messages. You're listening across the border on FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Make sure you go there and download our Prophecy Reality News app. Okay? We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
All Welcome back. You're listening to Cross Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and I hope everyone's taking advantage of the series that I'm running throughout the week here, going through the exposition of the Revelation, which I started again over this week on Monday, and will continue to run. It takes 2 weeks to play the whole thing out. During my broadcasts 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. So hopefully you've taken advantage of that. And you can also go to my website. There's a posting there to get that book if you want to buy a copy of the exposition in a cover that looks kind of like this one, only it says an exposition of the Revelation. And this book with that one, you should probably likely have everything you need to know about prophecy, end times, and especially the Revelation. So if you want to create primer on that, those two books could help you out greatly to understanding end time prophecy. Okay, we were going to talk about what we can expect in the way of this mark of the beast and how that's going to work. Because it seems like they're going to get their one world digital currency. It seems that there's nothing that we can do to stop it completely. So we need to prepare for a way to do that. But eventually, it seems that, you know, things like property taxes and could make you homeless if you can't pay your property taxes, because, you know, 4 years after you stop paying your taxes where I live, well, they auction your property off. And then they give it to someone who will pay the taxes. See, that's how that works. And supposedly the law says that they auction the property for market value. And then after the taxes are paid, they're supposed to give the money to the prior property owner that's left over. But there's so much expense in that that they basically end up ripping you off anyway, because that's what evil men do in government, you know, because they run it through the courts and all their friends are, you know, show up for the auctions or whatever. And evil people do evil things because we live in an evil world. And, you know, the whole idea of America seemed like a great idea. It lasted a while, but it seems that in the days that we're in, we're in the waning days of American liberty, or any liberty in the whole wide world, basically. The sway of the Antichrist is coming in strong. And if you read the Revelation, you realize that we are what I like to call the three frog era, those three spirits like frogs that have been going throughout the earth for now about 200 years. You know, that's the era we're in. Those frogs were let loose. And it says to gather them together for the great day of God Almighty. Armageddon. Yeah. So gathering them together, you know, consolidating evil in the world for that great day of God Almighty, when Christ returns with his saints, and we have that battle of Armageddon. Okay? That's what those three spirits are said to have been loosed for. So their influence in the world is very strong, and it seems to get stronger and stronger as we go, as we proceed toward the next era for this creation that we're in. Because I believe the scripture outlines 7,000 years for the creation as we know it, the heavens and the earth that God created in 6 days. I believe that the days of this creation are numbered, because when the millennial reign of Christ is done and over with, then we have a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem, all described in pretty much the last several chapters of the Revelation, the last two chapters. The third from the last chapter. The last three chapters outline the last era of this creation, the millennial reign of Christ, to be followed by a new heaven and new earth and a new Jerusalem, which I really believe is a figure of Christ's church. And putting in figurative language the best so that we could understand what is really beyond anything that we've experienced in this creation that we know it. We need a new heaven and new earth to obtain all the promises of God in the eternal state. It can't be done here, although we will spend the last era, because, you know, you have the amillennials who don't believe in the millennial reign of Christ being a physical return. They're not pre-millennial in that they believe Christ is going to return, like it says in chapter 20, like the plain reading of the text exposes in chapter 20. But they are willing to accept that we had different and various eras in the past. You know, we had the antediluvian era, you know, from Adam and Eve to the flood. That was quite an era when you read about it, and you can get a lot if you really dig into what that era was like, how it was so different from any of the eras that followed it. Okay? There's nothing like that has happened since, although a lot of the things that we see that Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so would it be. So we're kind of building this three frog-like spirits is building to a crescendo. And when it gets to that crescendo before Christ returns, I believe that's what Jesus was talking about, that it would be like before he returned. And we're getting there. And if it isn't obvious, you tune out, especially after the last year. or just even if you've been around for a while, you know, because I speak to with young people and they don't see it because everything seems normal to them because they don't know very much. They haven't seen any history in their lives because they haven't been around that long. You know, when you're talking to young people and they're even up in their 30s, some of them can see a little bit of how things have changed over the last 10 or 15 years. But for those that are that age and younger, it just doesn't seem like there's that much change to them. But to us, you know, like you get old like us, those of you who are old, you realize that things have changed dramatically, drastically over the last 50 or 60 years. Yeah. And it's alarming, and especially when you even compare that with, you know, because we're kind of just going along smoothly here until this bump in the road, the great panic of 2020. And now we see, oh yeah, now I can see how what this Bible says is going to happen, because it's happening. And it's not just moving at a turtle, but it's moving, you know, it's not moving like a turtle, but more like a hare at breakneck speed. And that's what it's going to take just to get to meet their 2030 agenda goal. Because that's what it is now. So what can we expect? Well, all true Christians can expect what happened in the past. You know, how about the St. Bartholomew Massacre? Can you see that being repeated? Yeah. How about worse than that? Because the scripture describes something worse, as it was in the days of Noah. St. Bartholomew Massacre was horrendous. I mean, the entire, you know, all of the Western nations of Europe were shocked at what happened. They were, at the time, you know, reading about it, reading the history of there. But then you can't say this could never happen here, because, well, over the last year, I can say, yeah, I can see how this could happen. I can see how the world is becoming hateful towards true Christians, and how they're holding up things that are against God's word. And because we won't celebrate, we can't just say, well, doesn't bother me. No, that you have to celebrate. If you don't celebrate, if you don't participate in the delusion now, you're committing a crime. You know, if you call, you know, someone by the wrong noun or pronoun, you know, it can be a criminal offense. It is a criminal offense in the satanic world government that is taking over the whole planet. You know, Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness and Satan took him up to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, these are mine and I will give them to you if you fall down and worship me. Well, what do I get out of that? Well, of course, Jesus didn't fall down and worship him. Satan was delusional. I don't think he knew who he was dealing with, for one thing. Otherwise, he would have never crucified the King of Glory if he had known what was going to happen. So Satan doesn't know all. Otherwise, he would not have done what he did. And I'm not sure he understands today yet what he did. Yeah, but I think it's beyond his understanding. He cannot understand it. Just like all the people that follow Satan and believe that evil and good are a necessary part of one thing. Yeah, that's the new lie for the satanic religion. That's why they don't have to stop sinning. They can embrace their sin because it's necessary for the good that they do. But, you know, they put their good on display and hide their evil. See, they should get a clue from that, but they don't. So what's going to happen? Well, we'll be cut out of the monetary system eventually. And you can see how that's, people are being canceled. I guess they call it the cancel culture. And that's what's described in the scripture. You know, no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. You're going to be canceled. You're going to be canceled from the monetary system. You're going to be canceled from the internet, the market. Place of the world, which is basically the internet. So we have to prepare for that. You know, I'm growing food right now. Okay? Not a whole lot because I don't have enough water to grow a garden like I'd like to grow. I have limited water. I do have a 3,000 gallon tank of water out here, but the water I have is limited as to how much I can use at a time. Yeah, I still need a new well here. Never did get a new well. We're still in that old well that ran dry. Yeah, well, it's filled up a little bit, but we're in another drought suddenly here in the southern Sierra foothills of California where I'm at. Now, I would like to grow a lot of vegetables out here, but can't do it. Can't even have a garden as big as I had last year. That's how bad it's getting again. Yeah. But anyway, I do have some... I use my sink water, you know, to water my vegetables because I do have a tub I do dishes in, and then I take the dishwater out and water the zucchini and the tomatoes that I have growing right outside the kitchen, the door there. Yeah, so at least I'm doing that much. So but anybody can do that. You know, so make sure you're growing some zucchini or some tomatoes or, you know, grow what you can. It may become necessary. And buy beans and buy rice and make sure that you have, you know, a 6 month supply. Why not? It's cheap. It isn't that expensive. Every time you go to the store, buy a 25-pound sack of beans, you know, Costco. I think it's $15 for a 25-pound sack of beans right now. And rice about the same, 25-pound sack of rice. I used to buy the 50-pound sack, but that's $30. So it's just, it doesn't matter. So, and then, of course, make sure you use the oldest one first because you eat this stuff too, right? You don't just keep the beans. You learn how to cook it and how to use it and you put it in your meals and stuff. You buy what you eat and you eat what you buy. And besides that, it can save you a lot of, save your health if you get back to basics and staples and learn how to cook them and eat them. It can save your health as well as your life if you know what to do with that stuff. So there's some precautions you need to take there. Get yourself some silver, you know, junk silver. There's still plenty out there. It costs more now than it did, perhaps when I bought it back in 2005, some that I have, that it's worth more now. It's a little bit of a savings account that I'm saving for that day when I'm going to need a quarter or a half a dollar, to buy some food or fill up a gas tank or, you know, something like that. If you like having electricity, you might think about getting a solar system and some battery backup or something like that so that you can do that. Okay. So you can have, at least have something to run a refrigerator or, some appliances or something, and, or have some, you know, low wattage light at night. Stuff like that. You might want to think about doing stuff like that. But the fact is this, you know, come down, it's 2030, and now I've lost all my bank accounts. What am I going to do? Where am I? Okay. And 4 years down the road, the sheriff's going to show up and with a warrant to get me off the property for the new owners that bought it at the bank sale or the bank owned. Well, the bank don't, you know. If your property is under a mortgage, then the bank will come for it. If you own your property outright, even you don't pay the property taxes, they'll come for it. So you might want to figure out how will I pay the property taxes. You might set up some device that will pay your property taxes out into the future. If you could do something like that, save up set up a trust account with money that will be able to pay for those property taxes, or have it managed somehow. I don't know how you can do that, but you know, there might be a way to do that, to have your, have the property taxes on your property paid out into the future under a trust or something. You know, so, you know, there's, we got some lawyers out there that could set up things like that, maybe, so that the property taxes could be continued. But you got to be prepared to even lose your home and your place. And think about places to go, places you can go. Where are there resorts that have empty cabins where you could likely go and move in to one of those cabins and take your, some of your storage food with you in a van or a trailer and, always have your tank full of gas so you can get to your bug out place or something. You know, we might have to start thinking about doing these things by 2030, and when they ramp up the Mark of the Beast Inquisitions, because that's what's coming, is Mark of the Beast Inquisitions will be coming. You know, this America was founded on the idea that the citizen would never be required to submit to an inquisition. That's why there was no direct tax written into the Constitution. But see, the Inquisition worked its way back into the society, the land of the free, and now the home of the slave. You're the slave to the Inquisition. You know, you have to fill out a 1040 Inquisition form every year and notify them. You have to invite them into your private business. You know, your right to privacy is gone because you are required to do it. Once you start, you can't stop. They don't let you stop because you've agreed to it. You know, they've done it by law, by contract, because that's also written into the Constitution that they can't, any lawful contract still has standing, you know, so they wrote contracts into. And I believe that the Jesuits had their hand in that. Read Rulers of Evil. I believe they had their hand right in the middle of the Constitution for the very purpose of where it's brought us today, for the purpose of killing our liberties and robbing the people and bringing back in to the society in America the Inquisition. And it's worked very well. You know, the Antichrist works intergenerational, or at least his boss does. We know that Satan, he works intergenerational. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's not dead. Satan is alive and well. So, and working his plan. But see, God is wiser and knows. He knew everything Satan was going to do. And we win. You know, all of the elect, we win. They can kill the body, but we are not to fear them. We're not to fear what they can do to us, because all they can do is kill the body and things in the flesh. Terrible things they can do and have done and will do, I'm sure. But God says that he will sustain us through whatever it is that he calls us to go through, and that, you know, we are to fear none of those things that they can do. Fear not them that can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. So we fear God, and it's a healthy fear. You know, fear has a great purpose. You know, you walk up to a precipice, you fear going over the edge, because fear has a purpose. And the fear of God has a purpose too. And those that don't fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell are fools. And the world, unfortunately, is full of fools. Let's just make sure that we're not one of them. So, that's what we have to look forward to. And the thing is, we can do all our preparation, and even with that, it can all come to naught. All of our preparation may come to nothing, and we may thank God for the preparation that we did. And it may be both. We may thank God for the preparation, and then it may eventually come to naught. Because, you know, 2030 to 2055, about the end of the sixth millennia, beginning of the seventh millennium, this is something that has been searched out over many, many years. And so if we have to go from 2030 with Mark of the Beast Inquisitions to 2050, even that 20 years, things could get very, very difficult. And it may go beyond that, may go to 2055. So we have to be ready to flee, to live in the wilderness, to hide, or to lay down our lives. God may say, stand. I require your life today. Or, you know, I will be with you. They're going to, you know, because many, many of our forefathers and the apostles and prophets knew that they were required to lay down their life. They knew they were going to the stake. And they went anyway, and they rejoiced all the way, because God gave them the power to rejoice. And like Stephen, when he was being stoned, as we read about there in the book of Acts, he saw, as it was, a window opened into heaven, and he saw the Son of Man, yeah, standing at the right hand of God. He was enraptured by a heavenly vision at the time his life was fading away on earth. I don't think he was feeling any pain at that time. He was being translated into eternity. And we have that same witness, you know, from thousands upon thousands of martyrs throughout history. We have a written witness, a written account of a like witness of help from on high to sustain them through the worst that you could imagine happening to anyone on earth, being burned alive and tortured and treated so badly. But God will sustain us. Okay, I'll be back after some news.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. I'm Nicholas Arthur, and today we're talking about, the rise in persecution and what we can expect in the way of Mark of the Beast inquisitions and, what we can do to get ready for that. And so we want to do everything we can. One thing, if you can, you should own your property and try to provide a way to have your taxes paid in the future, so that even if you're excluded from the financial system, that somehow you can set it up so that your taxes will continue to be paid. That might be helpful. And if eventually you can't because you're excluded from the monetary system of the world, because it's all fine and good to have gold and silver, you could, if you had silver, you might get someone else to go pay your taxes for you. You might think about that, because you could give them silver and pay someone to, that is in the system to go ahead and pay your property taxes for you. People will do stuff for you. You should do what you can. I believe that. So, we need to think about things like this for the future, or even having to flee. Do you have a place you can flee to? Now, I live in the southern Sierra foothills in California here, and I know that up here in the mountains at 6 to 8 and 10,000 feet, that there are resort areas with cabins where people that are well-to-do, old middle class or richer people, over the years of people bought property and built little cabins on them and stuff, or there's some really nice cabins up there too. But there are these communities where nobody lives most of the time. So that might be a place to flee to. I mean, you're an outlaw already. You're already fleeing for your life. You might scope it out. Go take some time off, weekends, spend some weekends in the mountains, looking around and stuff, looking at places, looking for resources, places that are, that might do, that you could, possibly, live in without raising too much awareness of what's going on. Or you might get your tents and stuff and live out in, the wilderness someplace. We might have to meet for church for services in the wilderness. It's, I've read a lot of history and the time when the Antichrist ruled the world the old world for 1260 years, that they would have secret meetings in the wilderness and they would leave town, go out of town to a ranch or a barn or some clearing, that was somewhat secluded from the sight of the town or whatever. And there they would, meet and celebrate you know, have church, basically. So, you know, things like that, that's what we can expect for the future of Christianity. That's what's starting right now, or you know, going on in China, you know. What communist China, that is a antichrist shadow government operation. What's going on over there? They're excluding all the churches, well, except for the one that is sponsored by the state and willing to do whatever the state says. You can't imagine what that one church is, can you? Yeah, of course, it's the Antichrist church. Yeah, they want all of them to conform to that because the Antichrist is gladly willing to conform to their, you know, shadow government dictates for churches because they want to wipe out, you know, true reform biblical Christianity. They can't have that because they won't bow to the Antichrist. They won't worship the image of the beast or the beast or the false prophet, you know. So how bad is it going to get? Well, you know, I can see from history that the mob ruled the St. Bartholomew massacre and other massacres that happened throughout the Antichrist reign of Western Europe. They stirred up the mob, you know, against true Bible-believing Christians. They tell lies about them, stir up the mob against them. You think they would do that today? No, they wouldn't do that today. It's like, you know, December 6th, that's everything that Nancy Pelosi says, that's the way it really was, wasn't it? No, they're trying to stir up the mob. And, the funny thing is that half of the people believe it. Yeah, that's the frightening part, because those half of the people that believe it, well, they are the mob that's coming for the other half that are being lied against, that are being cast as something they're not. So you can see how this thing is working now, even in the land of the free. And yes, we should continue to fight back. We should continue to tell the truth. We should do everything in our power to, expose the world around us, our neighbors, our countrymen, to the truth, and especially the truth of the gospel. But we need to expose the lies. And so that's the front we're fighting on now. But when the mob starts coming for us, well, then, you know, we have to change our tactics. You know, we're either going to take up arms or we're going to be fleeing, you know. We're going to have our bug out plan so we can regroup. And, or we may be, like I said, called to lay down our lives. We have plenty of examples, but the problem is most people, not only do they not read their Bibles, but they don't know anything about history at all. Because if they did, you know, if you know history, then you know what's going on around you. You know it better, and you know what you can expect. You can expect history to repeat, or at least rhyme, as they say. I got a bug out plan, and I know what I'm going to do if it comes to it. I don't, you know. But the thing is to keep preparing, to keep setting aside a little more, try to get out to 6 months ahead on rice and beans and, you know, staples, and or you may get a year ahead. Take your time doing it, you know, because if you eat staples, you've lowered your cost of living, your cost of buying food by quite a bit. Is what I see people spending on food, buying all this prepared stuff or eating out at fast food places and destroying their health while they're doing it, when they should just learn how to buy the staples and prepare the staples. And plus, this, the best storage food is not freeze-dried stuff. Yeah. Never mind. I mean, you can do that if you want. But the best, the best storage food is the storage food that God made, you know. Those seeds, those grains, those beans. Because that's what they all are. They're all seeds. You know, and not only that, you can plant them in the ground. Get your freeze-dried food, plant some of that in the ground and see what happens. Nothing's going to grow because it's not alive and it can't come alive. With grains and beans, you can even sprout them and have greens, you know, which is a good, you know, should be a good part of your diet already. So there's we do what we can. And let's see. Trying to enjoy a week in the fall of the Feast of Tents. The WW says a good place to flee and a place you're relatively comfortable with. There you go. You know, fellow believers to show up. That's a good idea. Is that, go to survivalmonkey.com. They have a forum on bug out plans. Well, thank you for that, WW in the chat room. So there you go, to survivalmonkey.com, and they have a sub-forum on bug-out plans. But yeah, you should have a bug-out plan. You should know what you're going to grab. Just know. Be prepared in your mind, at least, what you're going to grab. Always keep your gas tank half full. Never get low, you know, keep the top half of your gas tank full. Just pretend like the bottom half doesn't even exist, okay? Because it only costs you once to fill your tank up completely. You know, you only have to pay it once. And then you just keep filling the top half of your tank. And that way you always have at least a half a tank to bug out with. Makes sense, doesn't it? And a half tank should get you to your bug out location. Or at least your first bug out location. So, there you go. A lot of things you can do. Hey, let me see. Is this my biggest fan? Your name and where are you calling from? You're on the air. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. They're paying attention to me. I don't know why. They don't bother me generally. Except to give me a strike on YouTube once in a while, because I have such a small reach that, and you know what? I don't need a big reach because all of you have a reach too. You know, you can tell people what I'm telling you. You can send them this video. You can send them to my website because I'm not the only person out here who's part of the elect. You know, each and every one of you are. You're part of the elect. God wants to work through you too to reach your neighbor, your friends, and people that you run into and bring them the same message, you know, that the people that you fellowship with, where you go to church, you know, tell them. Yeah, say, you get, if they can't see it's happening now, they never will see it, apparently, until it's at their door. Okay, let's see what else we got. Anybody else in the chat room? Let me check out the YouTube chat room here because we got a couple chat rooms now. And let's see. Amillennials do believe in the millennium. It's now. A little witticism there from Wacky in the chat room over there. So we got a few people over there listening at YouTube, which is probably the first place I'm going to be kicked off of. But it is the public square of video. They pretty much have, you know, the majority of it over there. And then if I go over to Trovo, I have, one viewer on Trovo and I'm not watching it. So it must be somebody else. So say hello to the one viewer on Trovo. And then we have on DLive, we have a few people over there. Fuzzmeister, I've seen you in my Mr. Wordsworth. And a couple other people that are not in the chat room. Anyway, that's where we'll be when, because sometime by 2030, I expect to be. And you know what? I think another thing we may have to look out for is, being banned from the internet altogether, because you may need some type of bio identificator to get on the internet, to have a cell phone, things like that. And those are the things that we're going to have to let go of, yeah, when the time comes. I see that time coming too. I'm glad I thought of that before I ended this broadcast. So we have to learn to how to, are there other ways that we can communicate? What did they do in the past? How did they know? How did they spread the word that they were meeting in secret, you know, outside the town in Christian France, well, among the Christians in France, in their times of persecution? You know, they must have had a way of communicating with each other. So we're going to have to work on ways of, alternate ways of communication. Perhaps, you know, I have an FM broadcaster. I don't know. All you need is an old radio. And I've been meaning to fire that thing up because it's been down for years now. But I've been thinking maybe it'd be a good idea to get that low power FM going again. And it might come in handy and get on some, because everyone's on digital now, so we could get back on the old analog wavelength and maybe communicate that way. I know that there are people out there on shortwave. I think you're supposed to have a license for that, but anything that goes across state lines, you're supposed to have a license for, because the federal government here in America is in charge of interstate stuff. But you should be able to do low power broadcasting locally, on constitutional grounds without a license, unless your state requires a license. But I think most of the states say they require you to have a license with the federal government. Not sure how well that would stand up in court, but who cares? The courts can't decide everything. We have it's like the Supreme Court making all these decisions that are obviously unconstitutional. The people should just ignore them. They should have no standing whatsoever. I think we could just overrule the Supreme Court by ignoring them and saying, no, the Constitution doesn't support, that's not in there. Who are you trying to kid, man? You can't legislate. That needs to go to the legislature. Because, well, I don't have to name the things, the several glaring things they've done, besides a lot of other things that are not so glaring that the Supreme Court has legislated from the bench. And that's what they're talking about when they talk about legislating from the bench. The Constitution isn't that complicated. The common man, you know, with an eighth grade education should be able to understand it, basically. That's how it's written. So the Supreme Court, for them to find, abortion in the Constitution is just outrageous. And how people go along with it and accept it. Oh, well, it's law now. Well, no, it isn't. Not really. You know, law that violates the Constitution is no law at all. And who made the Supreme Court? I'm not even sure that what the Supreme Court is doing is constitutional. Making edicts that go beyond what the powers and that they are given, that the federal government is given in the Constitution. And I'm not sure that even that the Supreme Court is the third branch of government. There are people, I believe it was the states are the third branch of government on the federal level, because the states had the Senate. But they took the Senate away from the states, and then they made the Supreme Court the third branch. Yeah. Because you had the executive, you had the Senate, you had 50 senators, two chosen by each of the state legislatures for each state. That's what's written in the Constitution. But they did away with that. They made them super congressmen. So you had the people, you had the state, and you had the executive. And those were the three branches of the government. The Congress was supposed to be the voice of the people, supposed to have one congressman for every 35,000 people, I think it was. And they could do that easier today than they could do it 200 years ago. And just think, we would have a Congress of thousands, and none of them would need to go to Washington, D.C. They would all have to live and meet. They could meet on the internet and vote while they live in the place, the district that they're representing. That's what was really meant to happen. But you see how the concentration of power, that's what the Antichrist and his shadow government did. They got that concentration of power in Washington, D.C., because they know what happens when you concentrate power. That evil, that those men with designs for total control can operate much more freely and with much less scrutiny in a place where power is concentrated away from the masses of the people who are supposedly supposed to be represented by those congressmen, one for every 35,000 people locality. Yeah. But they stopped it at whatever, 500 and something now, and now they're just dividing up the states by population and, you know, with the number that they have rather than continuing. Because, you know, the Antichrist couldn't control all those divergent voices, could he? No, he couldn't. That's why they had to concentrate power, so they could corrupt the power, and they've done a good job. I have to, you know, I give the Antichrist and his shadow government, I give them kudos for doing such a great job at, you know, at polluting one of the freest nations that was conceived on the planet. Yeah. And polluting our liberties over time to the point where they're just, you know, whittling away at them little by little. And to the point where they actually will have nothing left. We will have nothing left. Okay, let's see. Checking the chat room here. Analog beats digital by 100%. Oh, 2016 analog made illegal. Are you talking about FM there, WW, in the chat room? You know what we do have, though, is we have the Holy Spirit. And we will rely on the Spirit. It seems that, because I wonder how they did it in the past, you know, when I read the history, you don't get any of the details. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have a telephone. They had no radios. but it must have been the Holy Spirit. Must have been. So I guess we'll just have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Imagine that. And he does a good job, you know. Look at what he's doing in our lives. So I guess, you know, we're going to have to rely on him even for communication in the time to come. So what we can do, and probably the most important preparation that we can do right now is to read God's word and allow his Holy Spirit to work in us and become practice at submitting to the Holy Spirit, to submitting to God, to submitting to his word, because we need to get his word in us. We need to, it needs to be who we are. It needs to become us. we, you know, they say you are what you eat. Yeah. Well, you know, metaphorically speaking, we need to eat the word of God. Yeah. You know, it's like Jesus used that metaphor. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. You know, we need to eat the word of God. We need to make it part of us. In the same way that we eat his flesh and drink his blood. You know, we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. That's what we become. We are the sons of Abraham by faith. We are his family. We are, yeah, we are the church that he said he would build. Okay, we have one more segment coming up after some messages. Make sure you go to my website, crossborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and press the follow button there. Okay. I'd appreciate it if you do that, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and this is a live broadcast. You can also listen to this broadcast throughout the week. We do it on firstamendmentradio.net. I also have a Prophecy Reality news app that you can get on your, what do they call that, Android product. There it is, Android. So if you got one of those Android phones out there, you can get it on your stupid phone. I get it on my stupid phone right here, see? And I can monitor throughout the day on First Amendment Radio and listen to all the great programming that we have there. Plus, I have my own broadcast at this same time slot every day, Monday through Friday, except this one day a week. Today, I go live and do a video cam on broadcast, which I'm doing right now. But I'm going through this week, and we'll finish it again next week, going through an exposition of the Revelation. So if you have ever wondered, what is that book about, and what do all those symbols and stuff mean, I hope that I do a good job of conveying to the regular Bible reader out there, the ordinary Christian man, woman, or young man or woman, so that they can get a clue as to what's going on there. I've done quite a few years of study on it, and hope that I've condensed it down enough that it's understandable without being overwhelming, that you can get a grasp of the general idea of what the Revelation is about. That's really, without getting into too complex a detail. That was my object in writing the book and keeping it at just under 200 pages for an exposition of the book of Revelation. So I hope you all are enjoying that as I do the audible version live. You can also purchase it on Amazon and Lulu. Go to my website, scroll down to the post down there, one or two posts down, you'll see it, and you can go to either Amazon or Lulu. Or you can listen to the podcast at firstamendmentradio.net, and you can listen to me narrate the whole thing over the air. Yeah, because the podcast lasts 5 days, so you can. I started on Monday. I started it over again this very Monday, 2 days ago, and we'll finish it a week from Friday. They only stay up there 1 week, so this Monday's will be overwritten by next Monday's. That's the way our podcasts work. But they're all free, and anyone can listen to our live feed free all the time. For those of you that have Apple products, or you can also do it on Android, you can bring up on your browser and save a link to the page, our mobile page. That's firstamendmentradio.net/Mobi. That's for when they start banning things from the Android store at Google. Yeah. They start banning certain apps that they don't like. And the Antichrist will catch up, especially after 2030. I'm sure that everything that is derogatory toward the Antichrist and his shadow government will be banned completely. But as long as we can keep a web page up and you can bring up our mobile app, which has all of our podcasts on it. So if you want the podcasts, go to our mobile page there. Those are also available on the app. Okay. So make sure you take advantage of that. And you get great broadcasting. We rebroadcast David Knight in the afternoon. And we have Tom Fress. We listen to Renewing Your Mind with those wonderful teachers over there at Ligonier Ministries, plus other brothers and sisters. And we have news on the hour and financial survival. So if you want to get some gold or silver as part of your prep, I suggest silver. Gold if you have lots of money. Silver if your funds are limited, and that you can put away some silver. It will only go up in value. Pretty much be assured of that. So you can put some, if you're able to put some away now, it might be a good thing to do for the time to come. As I said earlier, you may need it to get someone to pay your property taxes for you when they start disallowing people without marks of the beast to pay property taxes even, so they can confiscate. Because, you know, the Antichrist has been in the confiscation of property business for a long time. It was one of his things that he did during his 1260-year reign. So I'm sure a lot of stuff, there's going to be a lot of repetition going on here after 2030, because the Antichrist and his shadow government's grip on the entire world, as exhibited by lockstep here in the last year and a half, you can see the grip that he has. Because these people that are doing this, that are, you know, especially the worst ones, why are they doing it? You question. Well, one, they might be true believers. Like, of course, the governor of California is a true believer, because you can go to his Wikipedia page there and you can find out that he's trained by the Antichrist shadow government institution, you know, and it's proudly proclaimed there. And then you think about someone like Heil Wittmer over there in my birth state, Michigan. Yeah. Just as tyrannical, or even more tyrannical. She seems to be more tyrannical. So sometimes, not going to go there. I was going to say something about women with power. But men with power are just, could be just as bad, even worse, as women. Yeah. So, anyway, like Wittmer over there, and they go, why are these people moving in lockstep? What is going on? And then you have people over in New Zealand, Australia, and it's just like, it's worldwide. And just moving in lockstep together, because why? Either they're in with the Antichrist and part of his shadow government, knowingly or unknowingly, unwittingly being manipulated by the Antichrist in his shadow government. Antichrist doesn't care one way or the other, as long as you're doing his will. So he's not like the true God who only wants your heart and he wants all of you or nothing. Antichrist doesn't care whether you believe in him or not. He just wants you to do what he wants you to do. It doesn't matter if he has to bribe you into doing it, coerce you by threat and duress into doing it, or delude you into believing it's the best thing to do. Eh? That's how the Antichrist works. Could threaten you with the life of your family, you know, because you wonder about some of these people, like the, you know, that flip, like the Supreme Court justices that flipped from conservative to, you know, liberal, because, you know, it's like all the Democrats out there complaining, oh no, Donald Trump gets in, they're going to take over the Supreme Court. But are they talking about the same conservative Supreme Court that gave them Roe versus Wade, put into that position by Republicans? That, because it was majority Republican nominated Supreme Court justices that gave you all the things that you hate. And you see how they flip when they get in there. Why? Because they're controlled by the Antichrist. And I mean, if, you know, and if those people don't give in, you know, because they fear what, for their families' lives? You see this stuff in the movies. You know, they play it out in real life. Where do you think they get the ideas from? Yeah, it's from the shadow government handbook that has been operating for 500 years. It's like watching this guy that, the video that Butch Paw sent me that won the X Factor. I didn't get the guy's name. He doesn't give it in the video. But anyway, he's supposed to have won this X Factor thing. It's kind of like, a talent show thing or something. I don't watch those, so I don't know much about them. But, you know, his focus is on, he sees all this in, you know, the religion that is posing as something other than what it is. And that's the Luciferian Church. Yeah. The Luciferian Church, which really answers to the same God that the Antichrist answers to. That's his church. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the Catholics had a rule. You know, if you're Catholic, you couldn't join, you know, the Masonic Lodge. Masonic Lodge is for Protestants. See, because the Antichrist and shadow government, they want to compromise the Protestants. They know they won't go into the Antichrist church and become part of it, but then maybe they can be hornswoggled and deluded into, you know, Freemasonry, and then worship Lucifer that way. Yeah. So that's why. But we know that every time something, a fraternity or something, got big, we know who gets in there and takes control of it. We know anytime there's a rich family and wealth is accumulated, if it doesn't belong to the Antichrist, if it isn't under his control yet, it will soon be. You know, all I got to do is point to Chick-fil-A, and you see what happened there. They even won in the Supreme Court. The Antichrist and shadow government noted that, and they took over that fortune, and now they're the other way. Suddenly, how did that happen? I thank God I'm not wealthy or fabulously wealthy with a lot of influence, because here they would come. They'd be right there on a, you know, on a dime. So, but see, God doesn't need one person to be wealthy and have all the influence, because that one person has to be Jesus. But he chooses to work through a lot of individuals. Yeah, he chooses to network by the Holy Spirit. We were talking about that a little bit earlier. Networking by the Holy Spirit. I guess that's what's coming. That's all we're going to have left by the time the Antichrist and his shadow government and their Luciferian puppets get done with the world. That's all we're going to have left. So you better learn to walk in the Spirit now. And if you don't feel like you're walking in the Spirit, just plead for it. God will give it to you. Yeah, he says if you ask for good things, he's not going to give you a stone. He says he'll give you bread, you know. So if you ask for good things, you know, how much more will God be willing to give you good things if you ask for them? So I'm not afraid to plead, you know, when I pled with God to, you know, give me power over sin in my life, to keep me from evil, to let me be one of your elect. You know, I want the prize, no matter what the cost. You know, whatever it takes, prepare me for that. You know, finish the work you've begun in me. You know, that's what his elect do. They plead for all those things because they realize that is the prize. You know, that is the prize that was hidden in the field that Jesus was talking about in that parable. The prize is Him and eternal life through Him, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through Him. And they do hate Him. Oh, they hate Him with a passion. And they hate all those that love Him. So we can expect. And it's wonderful to read history, to read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you know, if you can't read any other history. And that way it prepares your mind, your heart, and your soul for what will come. Because the Holy Spirit will speak to you through that and prepare you for what may come or what you may see when it comes and have no part in it or whatever that you may be spared from for whatever reason, you know. But I'm to the point where I would rather die a martyr than fade away of old age. Yeah, seriously. Let me go out with a with a blazing glory, you know. Hey, or they can chop my head off. That would be less painful, I guess. So the Bible talks about being beheaded, and I hear that guillotines are coming back, so that may be their answer. Yeah, because they do like to pretend that they are humane. So that's our scripture. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Yes, the Antichrist was wounded. So talking about the time when the Antichrist wielded the beast and he received his wound as it were to death. Well, that wound has been healed. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. I'm in there. You know, that's us, everyone, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And I talk about that in both this book, and Prophecy, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, and my other book. Also in my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. We talk about that in there. And my latest, The Exposition of the Revelation. Have to talk about it in there. It's what I'm reading from is the Revelation. So, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, yes, and speaking of the heathen nations, not those of Israel only, okay. And this is Paul, the ex-Pharisee, the apostle to the Gentiles or the other nations speaking. He said, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, hallelujah, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are blessed, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So, we live by faith, and our faith is evident in that the righteousness of Christ becomes manifest in us. We aren't saved because it becomes manifest. It becomes manifest in us because we are saved. And because of that manifestation of His righteousness in us, we come to have assurance that our salvation is in him. Say amen. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Remember, the gospel of the kingdom is what we're talking about. That we are saved by his blood and by his blood alone. We enter into his kingdom now and when he comes. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And the gospel is this: repent, ye, and believe. Now, you have a lot of people out there today, they don't like the word repent. They're preaching another gospel. They don't want to be confronted with their sin. They will not. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit by not allowing, okay, the Holy Spirit to work repentance in them by the confession of their sins and repentance unto forgiveness. Because without repentance, there is no forgiveness. If you don't like repentance and you don't allow, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit by not allowing him to work repentance in you, then you have no salvation. The blood of Jesus availeth nothing to you because he only died for the elect. He didn't die for anyone else. He potentially died for everyone on the planet. But the reality is this, that the most people are on the highway to hell and they're content to be there. They don't want to be on that narrow way that leads to life. That's difficult. They have to deal with their own sin, their own humanity, their own mortality, their own faults. They have to repent. They have to change their mind. And believe me, they do not want to change their mind. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Those that will not allow the Holy Spirit to work that repentance in him. And that's the only work you can do. You know, that's the work that gets you into the book of life. The work of repentance that only the Holy Spirit can do in you. And I'll tell you what, if you don't have it, you better plead for it. Because, like I said, if you plead for it, earnestly plead for it, God said he won't give you a stone, that if you ask for bread, the bread of life, he will give you bread. Yeah, that's the gospel. That's the true gospel. Anyone who's not preaching that in one form or another, I mean, because I have another form, I can say, cross the border into the kingdom of God and live forever. That's the gospel. How are you going to get there? Well, you cross the border, you know, the passport across the border is repentance. That's it. You know, repentance is the passport. And I call it the repentance road, the narrow way that leads to life. You could have a street sign up there that says repentance road. Nobody wants to walk that road. Gosh, you got to change your mind, conform it to the image of the only begotten Son of God. You have to have your mind washed by the water of the word. Yeah, that's what it takes. That's the gospel. That's what it's all about. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And why, how are they going to glorify God if they're your good works? Because they're not yours. It's his righteousness working in you, and you give him all the glory. That's why they glorify your Father which is in heaven, because you testify to the fact that you're not saved by your works, but you have his works, you know, that he prepared, that he foreordained that you might walk in him, it says. And you see how all these things are preaching the gospel continually. In other words, in another manner, but they all say basically the same thing. And that's all the time we have today. I want to thank everybody for showing up and enduring me for several hours. Please go to my website. Make sure you follow there. Get your Prophecy Reality News app or your mobile page on your phone. May the Almighty bless you all.